morning, and a very warm welcome to everybody here and to those also who are listening at home. And well done to those who made it across Knutsford Road, despite the runners. We also warmly welcome Mary and her husband Paul, who come from Bramhall. There will be an introit from the choir, but just before that, you'll have been aware that there is a sign-up table. Two things to sign up for. One, the Crib Festival, which actually starts on set-up on the 2nd and will begin to be seen on Tuesday the 4th of December. So we need people to steward that. And secondly, Churches Together, there is the leaflet about all our activities. They need to be delivered, and again, you can sign up for those. So I'm sure you've been very aware there is the table in the foyer, and you won't be allowed to go past without being spoken to again. Right, the introit, thank you.
Together, number 335, following in that note of rejoicing, rejoice, the Lord is King.
Rejoice.
before the service, Jenny prayed with me in the vestry, and there's got a lovely book here, Prayers for Every Sunday of the Year. And it was so lovely, I thought, and so appropriate, I thought we would begin with this prayer. So let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, crowned with thorns, yet crowned with glory, lifted up on a cross, yet exalted on high, crucified as a criminal, yet honored as Lord, sealed in a tomb, yet triumphant over death. Remind us again today of your transforming power and renewing love. The way you overturn the wisdom of this world, bringing victory out of defeat, joy out of sorrow, and hope out of despair. Teach us again as we worship you that you are able to change our lives and our world, bringing light into our darkness, wholeness into our brokenness. Reach out in love and work your miracle of grace. Amen. I've got a few slides to show you. The first one, this slide, is the inscription that was put over Jesus' cross. And it's in three languages. The top language is Hebrew, which was the language of the Jewish people and is the language of the Old Testament. The middle one is Greek, which was the language that most people spoke at the time of Jesus, so everybody would be able to understand what was written. And the bottom one is in Latin, which is the language of the Romans, the official legal language. And they all say the same thing. They say something which the Jewish authorities objected to, because they say, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. They wanted it to be a longer inscription saying, this man purported to be the King of the Jews. So we'll move to the next slide. Have we got the next slide with it? It has a picture of the cross again, but this time there is the figure of Jesus on it. Now, mostly in our Protestant churches, we prefer to have an empty cross signifying the risen Christ. But often you'll see a cross with the figure of Christ on it, a crucifix, and the letters above it, I-N-R-I. Now, this is an acronym for, we'll just go to the next slide, INRI, N-I-R-I, and then on to the next slide. Because in Latin, the letter I depicts J in English, and the letter V depicts U in English. So when you see I-N-R-I, it is an acronym for Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. So I hope that explains that for you a little bit. I'm sure you're mostly aware of that. And we're going to sing again now about the King of the Jews, His Majesty, meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man,
who is God. Now we'll share in a prayer for the children just before they leave. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us here now. And we know that you will be with the children and those who are teaching the children as they go into the other room. We pray, Lord, that they might have a sense of your love for them, and we ask for your blessing upon each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. And now this is my husband, Paul, and he is bringing greetings from Bramall Methodist Church, where we worship.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
So I bring greetings from Bramall because we've been requested by the circuit leaders that the local preacher takes with them a member of their church just to explain a little of what goes on back home in Bramall. So very, very briefly, you're probably familiar with where we are in the middle of the village, and that's a blessing in many ways, but the parking is another thing. So We're fortunate that we have considerable membership, so we have in fact four services of worship through the week. Two on the Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, which sounds a bit odd because it was about 15 years ago we decided, instead of having consecutive services, to have two at the same time, one a traditional form of worship and one a contemporary with a group. So really, the only real difference is in the music basis of each service, but we try to meet both needs. There is a much smaller service held in the entrance hall on the Sunday evening at 6:30. We also have a service on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, which we're glad to welcome everyone, and quite a few come from other churches. It's only for half an hour, but it's regarded as an oasis in the middle of the week. All through the week, we also have a very busy preschool, and also a separate building which has a thrift shop, which mostly ladies, I'm sorry to say, have worked very hard to take in all sorts of goods for recycling in various ways. Some of the items are sent out to other needy places, and some are sold. But it provides a great service. It was, in fact, the first charity shop in the village. There's also a coffee bar that's run by the people from the various churches. In fact, all the events in this Centrepoint building are ecumenical in nature, so that when we built it in 92, the whole principle was to try and bring the various churches together for various purposes. So if anyone has further questions, I would hope to answer them later on, but I can't guarantee I'll know everything. But we have been members there for 46 years, so we should know a little of what goes on.
And now I think Doug is going to bring our Old Testament reading. No, sorry, Heather is going to bring our New Testament reading. Very sorry.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 18, beginning to read at verse 33. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own? Or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is the truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" they shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. Amen.
And now we'll take up the offering. And thank you for all that you have given to us, and we bring this offering now, praying that it will be used for good purposes in your kingdom, in this church and in this circuit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the second book of Samuel, chapter 23. Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom Jesus exalted and anointed of the God of Jacob, the founder, the favourite of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But the godless are all like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with the hand. To touch them, one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot. Amen.
Our next hymn, 342, picks up on this idea of Jesus being in the line of King David. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray that the words that we have heard from the Bible will become for us the living word through the spoken word. In Jesus' name, amen. We often do remember the last words that people have said to us before they die, and there are a few famous ones. Winston Churchill died of a stroke in 1965 at the age of 90, and his final words were, "I'm bored with it all." And Spike Milligan said famously, "I told you I was ill." And I hope you'll forgive me for this one, because Homer Simpson is a cartoon character. But when he was threatened with cannibals, he said, "Please don't eat me. I have a wife and kids. Eat them." And I think you're going to have to forgive me for this next joke, but it's one of my favourite jokes, and it's all just to lighten the atmosphere. There was an old nun, and she was suffering with insomnia. She just could not get to sleep at night. And so the Mother Superior decided that she would get the doctor to come and see her, because, you know, if you miss out on your sleep, you do feel it, don't you? And so the doctor said, "Well, I recommend that she just has a little dram of whiskey at night, and it'll just help her to get to sleep." But the old nun said, "Oh, no, 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 no. I've not touched a drop in my life, and I'm not going to start now." Well, the Mother Superior thought better of this, and she sneaked a dram of whiskey into her warm milk at night. And yes, it did the trick. Now, some years later, the old nun was on her deathbed, and the other nuns were gathered around, waiting to hear her final words of wisdom. And she looked at them all and she said, "Whatever you do, don't get rid of that cow." But our Old Testament reading this morning are said to be the final words of David. Now, they probably weren't his final words. They were his final message to the people. And actually went on to live quite a long time after that. But in those words, we heard that God had made with him an everlasting covenant. And it comes out more clearly later on in 2 Kings, when he was giving his final words to his son, who he'd already put on the throne before he died, because two of David's sons sought to take the throne from him. So he managed to get Solomon on the throne. And these are the last words to Solomon. "When David's time to die drew near, he charged his son Solomon, saying, 'I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong, be courageous, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Then the Lord will establish his word that he spoke concerning me. If your heirs take heed to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail you a successor on the throne of Israel.'" Now, sadly, Solomon in particular failed to heed his father's words. He did not heed all the laws of Moses. In fact, he did the most abominable thing to God in that he went off after the gods of all the foreign wives that he'd married. 300 wives and 700 concubines. It just doesn't bear thinking about, does it? So after Solomon, there were 14 more heirs on the throne in the southern kingdom who were descended from David. But after that, the kingdom failed. The promise to David could not be continued because it had that great big word if in it. If your descendants, your heirs, keep the laws of Moses, then there will never fail to be a king on the throne of Israel descended from David. But this was an eternal covenant. So like I say, there were 14 more kings in David's line on the southern kingdom, and it's hard to say who was the last king, because Jehoiachin became the king when he was 18 years old, and he only ruled for 3 months, but he was taken into exile by Nebuchadnezzar and lived for another 37 years. And when he was taken into exile, his uncle Zedekiah was left to be king of the tiny remnant left in the southern kingdom after the destruction of Jerusalem and the first temple. So after the exile, the people thought, how could David's covenant of an everlasting kingdom be fulfilled? So they changed their thoughts to thinking that it would be fulfilled in their long expected Messiah, that there would be a descendant of David whose kingdom would never end. And it's interesting that the New Testament begins in a very boring way. In Matthew's Gospel, the first verse says, an account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then there is this whole long list going from Abraham right through David, right to Joseph. That was the legal line. Because Matthew is keen to point out that Jesus is of David's line. And he's the right man to be the Messiah. Now, in Luke's Gospel, we have another list which is upside down. Matthew just goes to Abraham. Luke goes all the way back to Adam, demonstrating that Jesus' humanity. And Luke takes it through another son of David, Nathan. And this is Mary's genealogy. So we have the legal genealogy through Solomon, through Joseph, to Jesus. And we have the genetic genealogy through David, Nathan, Mary, and Jesus. But interestingly, those people, like people today actually, when you've got the luxury of a bit of time on your hands, you can do a bit of your own personal genealogy. And I'm sure some of you have been looking at your ancestors. Give me a little nod if you've had a little investigation as to whether you knew anyone in the First World War in your family. My granddad was in the trenches, and we are interested in looking back and say, thinking, you know, who do you think you are? Where do you come from? And finding out a bit more about our family. Our eldest boy, fortunately, has done it for us, so I'm not to bother much. But, you know, he's taken it right back through all four of his grandparents and eight of his great-grandparents. So he's done very well in looking up the ancestors. And the people in Jesus' day were very keen to know where they'd come from. And they kept a record. And so Joseph was able to say, you know, I'm in the line of Solomon. And Mary's parents were able to say, we're in the line of Nathan from David. But in AD 70, the temple, the second temple, was destroyed. And the whole of Jerusalem was destroyed. And the Jews were dispersed, the remaining Jews were dispersed around the world, and a few went to Masada and committed suicide rather than submit to the Romans. And in their new homes and in their new places, they didn't have the time or the luxury of keeping up these genealogies. And today, I don't think Jews are able to trace, any Jew could trace their ancestry back to David, which is rather fascinating, really, because they are presumably still anticipating the coming of their Messiah. But nobody could prove that they are in the line of David. Nobody really, after AD 70. Now we're heading for Advent. Today is the last Sunday of the liturgical year, the Feast of Christ the King. And next Sunday is the first Sunday of the liturgical year, when we look forward to the coming of Jesus as a baby in Bethlehem. But we also look forward to the coming of Jesus when he comes again in glory. And we'll be hearing the stories of these wise men coming from the east, because they've seen a star which indicated the birth of the Jewish king. And they came to Herod and said, "Where is he who is born to be king?" And Herod got his wise men to discover that the Jewish Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And when Jesus, some decades later, started his public ministry, he spoke all the time about the kingdom of God. He taught in parables about the kingdom. In fact, later on, we will be saying the prayer that he taught us, including those words, "Thy kingdom come." And at the end, we've added, "For thine is the kingdom." And as he entered Jerusalem, he was hailed as a king. "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings." He was taken to Pilate and accused of making himself a king. For the Romans, this was high treason. Now, we're in the middle of this tortuous escapade of Brexit, seeking to make the United Kingdom more control, to have more sovereign rights over these islands. And this is a very human kingdom. I'm sure we all love the Queen, and most people, I think, are monarchists. We want our kingdom state to continue. I don't think there are too many Republicans. If they had a referendum, I don't think they would abolish the monarchy. So how is Jesus' kingdom? Now, Jesus said to Pilate that my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus is the king of people's hearts, if that's what people choose. I have heard this picture, and it's actually in one of our hymns, of the idea of each of us having like two thrones within our hearts, one of which we can sit on. Oh, sorry, I got that slightly wrong. Not two thrones, there's a throne and a cross. And we can choose who's going to sit on that one and only throne. Will we sit on it ourselves and be sovereign over all our own decisions and our own lives? Or will we place Jesus on that throne? Will we make him the king of our hearts and lives? I think the line in the hymn goes, I only just thought of this while I was in the vestry, so I haven't done my homework very well. Christ, somebody will help me, won't you? Christ on the cross. Jesus on the throne and Christ on the cross. No, Jesus on the throne and self on the cross. Because Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. And we have choice every day whether we're going to go our own way or seek God's way. And I want to tell you that God's way is a whole world better than our own way. God knows best. But this is not the end, is it? Because we do look forward to a future kingdom. Why would Jesus ask us to pray, thy kingdom come, if it was complete now? Jesus inaugurated the kingdom, but we look forward to a future kingdom, a kingdom where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Some will do it happily and willingly. I hope and trust most people, all people here, will willingly bow to Jesus. But there will be those who do it through gritted teeth with great fear. So what about us? I think verse 4 of the hymn that we're about to sing sums up, the whole hymn sums up what I wanted to say this morning, but I'm just going to read verse 4. In your hearts enthrone him. There let him subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Crown him as your captain in temptation's hour. Let his will enfold you in its light and power. So let us sing together number 317. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Every tongue confess you.
in our prayers of confession and intercession, when I say, "Thy kingdom come," could you repeat those words, "Thy kingdom come"? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, knowing that there is nothing within us or in our circumstances that you are ignorant of. You know all about every one of us. You know that there is nothing which is secret from you. And so we cannot pretend that all our thoughts and words and actions have been pleasing to you. We confess that we have fallen short of the standards of your kingdom. But Lord, we rejoice in the fact that you are more than ready to forgive us and to cleanse us and to enable us to live a life which you can direct. Thy kingdom come. And Lord, now we want to pray for those people that we are concerned about. First of all, our nearest and dearest, and members of this church family, those known to us who are facing problems with their health, with their finances, with their relationships. And in a short time of silence now, we bring them before you in our hearts and by their names. Thy kingdom come. And at this time, Lord, we do pray for the political situation in our United Kingdom and in Europe. There seem to be so many diverse opinions, and at this moment it seems difficult to see the right way forward. We pray, Lord, that people will be ready to compromise in some ways and not be so dogmatic and insistent on their own way forward. Thy kingdom come. And Lord, now we pray for so many troubled areas in our world. We think of those places where there is conflict and war. We think particularly of the long war that's happening even now in Syria, in Afghanistan, and the conflict between Israel and Palestine. We pray, Lord, that there will be peace brought to those lands. And we pray, Lord, for the places where there is so much tragedy in natural terms, with fires blazing in California, with floods elsewhere, earthquakes, and this whole situation of global warming bringing a great change to our planet. We pray that those who have power to make decisions in big ways, and each one of us who can make small changes, which together will be big changes in terms of perhaps our use of plastic, etc., we pray, Lord, that we might find a good way forward. Thy kingdom come. And now together we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'm sure our final hymn will be the choice of many churches up and down the country on this occasion of the Feast of Christ the King. Number 312, the head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. Choir are going to sing a blessing to us called For Yours is the Kingdom. How appropriate is that? And then we'll share in the grace together.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.